I'm going to tell you some good news and some bad news. Hands up if you like good news. Hands up if you don't like bad news. Okay, phew, that's good. In our Bible passage today, we're going to look at some good news and some bad news. But let me just first of all tell you a little story. This was about a man who was once given some flying lessons. And Dan, I'll move over onto this mic. He was flying in his plane, and he was given some free lessons for his birthday. That is good news. Can we have some thumbs up? Good news. But when he was flying, the plane broke down and he had to dive out. That is bad news. Bad news. But he did have a parachute. Phew, that is good news. But I'm afraid to say that the parachute failed. That is bad news. I was hurtling through the sky at hundreds of miles an hour. But fortunately, he was plummeting down towards a farm where there was this lovely big pile of lovely hay, a haystack. That was good news. But there was a farmer's fork sticking up out of the haystack. That is bad news. But he missed the farmer's fork. That is good news. But he missed the haystack as well. That is bad news. Now today we're thinking about good news and bad news. And in Ephesians 2, which we're looking at, there is both good news and bad news. Much better news than landing safely out of a plane. Much worse news than landing not safely out of a plane. We're going to see the bad news and the good news. But we're going to need God's help to understand this. So I'm going to say a prayer, and then we're going to sing a song in which we say that we're following the King. Maybe that some of us are still thinking through whether they want to follow Jesus as their King. But we're going to sing this song together, saying that we're ready to obey. So let's pray for God's help with that. Heavenly Father, as we look at Ephesians 2, and as we learn about the bad news and the good news, we pray that you would make us ready to obey and to learn more about your grace and your mercy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we are now going to have our reading from the Bible. So if you'd like to pick up a Bible near you and turn to Ephesians chapter 2, which is on page 1173, page 1173, and we're going to start with David, who's going to read for us from Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 3. And just as you're finding that, we'll move to this microphone, Dan. Just as you're finding that page 1173, just to explain, we've been working our way through the second half of Ephesians. Is that working? Is that coming through? Yeah, great. We've been working our way through the second half of the book of Ephesians, which is all about how we're to live out our identity, how we're to be dearly beloved children. But we're stepping back to Ephesians 2 today, just to go back to some of the driving force behind why we're to live out our identity as Christians. And we're going to see some of the amazing changes that happen in those who follow Jesus. So I'm going to hand over to David, and he's going to read for us Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 3.
Good morning, everyone. This is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. As for you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath.
Brilliant. Thank you, David. Should we give him a round of applause? Come on, David. Thank you, David, so much for that excellent reading. And I hope you've all got your Bibles open in front of you as we look at, first of all, at the bad news. The bad news, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Now, one of my favourite words in the Bible is the word but God. It's such a good word that my wife, actually, before we were married, made some embroidery with the original Greek words from this bit of the Bible. Ephesians 2, verse 4. That says, God, ho theos, God, and but God, who is rich in mercy. And we've got this lovely, we have this Bible passage that we're looking at hung on our wall with this above it to remind us of the amazing turnaround that there is for the follower of Jesus. I'm going to give this back to, where is Emma? She just snuck away. We'll put it on the front seat because it needs to be kept very safe. So, but God. And in verse 4, we see a big turnaround between the bad news and the good news. And we're going to look first of all at the bad news. So let me read to you again, Ephesians 2, verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. You were dead in your transgressions and sins. Although today, if we put our trust in Jesus, we are dearly loved children, I'm afraid the bad news is that before we came to know Jesus, we were dead. As dead as that chicken on the screen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like you to put your hands together for the Ephesians-O-Matic. Please put your hands together for the Ephesians-O-Matic. Now, I have in here something very important. Hopefully we're going to have this for our lunch today. Probably not today. Maybe dinner. It is a supermarket chicken. I'm afraid to say that this represents what our lives were like before we started to follow Jesus. You see, we were dead in our transgressions and sins. I wish I could put it more nicely, but this bit of the Bible says that before we know Jesus, we are as alive as that chicken. Now, shall I say to this chicken, Mr. Chicken, can you please peck some corn for me? It's not doing very well, is it? Mr. Chicken, can you lay an egg for me? I'm afraid this chicken can do absolutely nothing at all. It's a little bit like some of you adults will remember the Monty Python sketch about the parrot. And someone was sold a parrot, but the parrot was already dead. And he brought it back to the pet shop and said, there's something wrong with my parrot. It's dead. He says, it's not dead. It's just pining for the fjords. But I'm afraid the parrot, just like this chicken, is dead. And I'm very sorry if there are any vegetarians here today, but we have one ex-chicken. We better put him back in the fridge so that he stays nice and cool. In fact, why don't I put him back in the Ephesians-O-Matic for later on? To just give another round of applause to the Ephesians-O-Matic. We'll put him there and we'll come back to the chicken a bit later on. So this Bible verse is very serious, and it's saying that before we come to know Jesus, we are as dead as that chicken. In fact, the verses say a few more things that are also bad news. First of all, that we're following the world. Look at verse 2. In which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. Now, that doesn't mean that we're following a big planet, planet Earth. It means we're following the ways of the world. That is the ways that people follow when they're here on planet Earth. Hands up if you have friends at school. Hands up if you'd like to be good friends with your friends. Yeah. Hands up if you don't like to be different from your friends. Yeah, I'm the same. I don't like to be different from my friends, but the Bible says that we do have to be different. And unfortunately, we just follow the ways of the world. Like sheep, we follow other sheep and we get ourselves into trouble. Next, it says that we're following the devil. That's even more serious. So we're dead, and then we've got two kind of people blocking us from doing anything. We couldn't do anything because we were already dead, but we're disobedient with these two forces or powers over us, the world and the devil. Look what it says in verse 2. And the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. The air is the place between the earth and the heavens. And we live in this place where there's air, and we need air everywhere. And wherever we go, whether it's in our bedroom or in our bathroom or in our school or in our workplace, there's air, and that's a good thing. But everywhere there's air, there's Satan there as well. And he's the enemy of God, and he's calling people to follow him. So we're dead and we're disobedient. We're disobedient to the world because of the world, and we're disobedient because of the devil. But it doesn't stop there. It gets even worse. Verse 3, all of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Flesh is what our bodies are made of and what that chicken was made of. But actually, the way to think about flesh in the Bible is to write the word out, to cross off the H, and to read it backwards. What do you get if you read it backwards without the H? Anyone? Yeah, Katie? Self. Well done. The flesh, when you think of the flesh in the Bible, that's about our selfish, sinful desires, where we just want to do exactly what we want to do. Now, when I was 11, I started to follow Jesus, and I'm so grateful for the people on a little Scripture Union holiday camp that told me about the good news of Jesus. And some of us here from Christchurch Huntingdon over the summer are going to be helping on kinds of holidays like that, where we're going to help people to learn about the good news. But before I started to follow Jesus through that camp and through Sunday school, which is a bit like the great Sunday morning adventure, but not quite as exciting as you guys have, I was dead in my transgressions and sins. I was following the ways of the world. I was following the ways of the devil. I was following myself and my selfish desires. And worst of all, it says in verse 3 that we're deserving of God's anger. Now, I look pretty alive as a 6, 7, 8-year-old. We've got some of you here today. But because I wasn't a Christian at that point, I was dead. I was disobedient because of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and I was doomed. I was heading to God's anger. And that is fair because of the way in which we reject God. Even in our most simple and childlike ways, we reject Jesus and live as if we are king instead. This is the bad news, and it's far worse than any of the bad news in that story that I was talking about earlier. I wonder what you would say if you had a friend at school who was always horrible to you. They always ignored you. They always told lies about you. They stole things from you, and they were never nice to you. I think you'd be really sad. And you might even wonder whether they could be your friend anymore. And that's what we've done to God. We've lived in his world as if we wear the crown instead of his son, Jesus. And it's so serious. But the amazing good news of Christianity is that Jesus didn't leave us. He didn't ignore us. And he didn't give us what we deserved. He gave us his amazing grace. And we're going to look at that in just a moment. It's a lovely, lovely song there by one of our favourite Christian children's writers, Randall Goodgame. And we could lend you a CD if you'd like to borrow it. So we've been thinking about the bad news, and we'll put the bad news back on the screen. Without Jesus, we are dead. It's really, really serious. Someone can't just make themselves alive. Someone can't make themselves a Christian. They need a miracle to work in them. We're following the world. We're disobedient to the world, the flesh, and the devil. We're dead, we're disobedient, and we're doomed. We're facing God's anger. And that, sadly, is the state of us before we were Christians, if you're a Christian today, and it's the state of those around us. It's really, really serious. Don't think that we can try harder. Don't think that by just sort of pulling up our socks, maybe giving a bit more money to charity or doing a few good things, by coming to church a bit more often, we can somehow get ourselves right with God. We're dead without Jesus. Don't just be mad at the Bible because it's so strong, or mad at Paul who wrote this, because this is God's word to us. And if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, you need to cry out to Jesus for a miracle. That's what those of us who are Christians first did. We called on God and we said, please, Jesus, have mercy on me. Be kind to me, a sinner. And once you put your trust in Jesus, a miracle happens in your heart. Let me tell you some good news. Bad news, but my favourite word, good news. I had a nosebleed at school today and I couldn't do any of my work, but Mrs. Dutoit helped me and gave me an extra day to do my homework. Bad news, but good news. I fell off my bike today, but, bad news, but I landed on the grass in front of our house, so it was okay, I didn't cut my knee. Bad news, I lost my rabbi, my toy rabbit today, and I was really sad. I had to go to bed and I couldn't go to bed with little rabbi because I couldn't find him anywhere. But, good news, I found him in Martha's room. There's some autobiographical stories. Oh, it's a she, isn't it? Rabbi is a she. I'm sorry about that. Bad news, but good news. And that's what these verses are saying. And Alice is going to read for us the second half of our passage so that we can look at the but and the good news. Let's go over to Alice. Alice, what page is it?
1,174
now. Let's check they're all on their toes. Got the Bibles open in front of us, because what we're saying is, you have to check that what we're saying is true to the Bible. So, Alice, are you ready? Ephesians 2, verses 4 to 10.
But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms of Christ Jesus, in order that, in the coming ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Brilliant. Thanks, Alice. Should we give Alice a round of applause? Thank you to Alice and to David for those brilliant readings today. Bad news, but Paul is saying to this church in Ephesus, and he's saying it to us today, we need to know what an amazing power has been at work in us to make us Christians. If you're a follower of Jesus today, something amazing has happened to you. You were dead, but you've been made alive. Now, are you ready to check the Ephesians-O-Matic again? Should we see how our chicken in its wrapping, cold and damp and ready for the oven, is doing? Let's have a round of applause for the Ephesians-O-Matic. I see you there. Oh. Let's see how our chicken is roasting. Oh, it's a bit different. Oh, look. That's no frozen chicken. Can anyone see sorbet? Let's put him down here. This is sorbet, and he is, children, come up to the front. Very gently and very quietly, and just make sure you can quietly. Can you see sorbet? I won't take it out because they say don't work with animals or children. It's a real chicken, Kaya, isn't it? Can everyone see him? Yeah? Can you see him? Wow! My frozen chicken became a real chicken! That is amazing! Did everyone see it? Brilliant. Look at that. We'll put sorbet on the stage to enjoy the rest of the service. You guys take a seat. We might let Sorbet have a little bit more darkness in a moment so that we don't scare him. But it says, dearly loved child, he's got a sticker on there as well. Now, of course, I didn't actually make my chicken come alive, did I? I just had Jamie out the back. Come on, Jamie, come on out. I just had Jamie out the back. There he is. Jamie, should we put him back in there? Great, thanks. I just had Jamie out the back swapping the dead chicken for the alive chicken, of course. But you know what God did? He made us alive with Jesus. Jesus was dead in the tomb and he rose to new life. We died with Jesus. When you put your trust in Jesus, it's like you come into Jesus and you died with him and you rose with him and you've been ascended to the right hand of God and you're seated with Jesus at God's right hand. That's what happens whenever someone puts their trust in Jesus. They are made a new creation. God makes us alive with Jesus. Remember that friend that we were thinking of who's horrible to us, who ignores us, who steals things from us and lies from us? That's what we did to God. But in his kindness to people who don't deserve it, he's made us alive. He's been so kind to us. He hasn't given us what we deserve. That's called mercy. But he's given us what we don't deserve, and that is called grace. We just don't deserve it. Let's have a look at a few more things in these verses. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Dan, do you mind clicking one more on that? We're now going to look at a little video. And this video shows another wildfowl incident. We'll skip to the duckling video, if that's okay. So we're going to look at another little video about another wildfowl incident. And this story I spotted from the Hunts Post website. About a year ago, there was the article saying this: it was the moment all mothers dread, losing track of your babies and going into sheer panic. Oh, isn't that nice? In the Hunts Post, it explains that the ducks had fallen down into a sort of drain, and there was this massive drop where they went over a little waterfall and down into a lower bit, and they're so small, they've got such tiny little wings that don't work yet, that they couldn't fly up to the safety. And the mother duck was outside, she couldn't see them in the pitch dark. But Dan, the wildlife rescue guy, came and rescued those chicks and brought them to safety. And I thought that's a beautiful picture of what Jesus has done for us. A rescue came from the outside through Jesus by his death on the cross. And he reached down into the darkness and into the dirt. And he went to the cross and he died for us. And he picked us up with him and he raised us up out of danger, up to the highest place to sit with Jesus at God's right hand. And that's where we are, safely with him now. It says, verse 6, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Why? In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace. Grace is a free gift. It just means we don't get what we deserve. And that's what Jesus is like for us. It says in verse 8, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Faith is how the rescue comes to us. We have to put our trust in Jesus Christ. If anyone hasn't yet put your trust in Jesus, you need to do that even today so that you might be rescued by Jesus. But even faith, it says, is a gift. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. God even helps us. He even reaches down into our hearts to enable us to turn to him and have faith. Someone can't become a Christian by themselves. They need God to work in them. That's why it's a miracle of grace, enabling them to turn to Jesus. And the first thing that Jesus does when he starts to save us is to give us the words to cry out for rescue from Jesus. It's 100% God's work, and it's 0% our work. And that's why if you're a Christian here this morning, You can't pat yourself on the back and say, well done me, I had faith, because even that is a gift from God. It's 100% God's work, and it's 0% our work. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And this wonderful last verse for us to finish on today. For we are God's handiwork, God's workmanship, God's masterpiece. Do you know that you are God's masterpiece? He loves you and he's made you to serve him. We're not saved by good works. It's not by being a good person that we can get right with God, but it's by his kindness to us. But once we have been rescued by him, we want to start living for him a life of good works. We're not saved by good works. We're saved for good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So as we close today, we've seen the bad news that without Jesus, we're dead. We've seen the good news that God makes us alive with Jesus. Far more amazing than my little Ephesians-O-Matic chicken swap. God actually breathes new life into our bodies like Jesus, alive from the dead by his gift of grace. Well, two things that we should do. First of all, if you've never put your trust in Jesus, please ask him to save you. Don't think that by coming to church, by reading your Bible, by saying your prayers, by giving money, by taking communion, by getting baptized, you can save yourself and make yourself right with God. We're dead in our transgressions and sins. We need a miracle to be at work. Ask Jesus to save you. Admit your sins and trust in him. Ask for his forgiveness. Come to him. And if you have started to follow Jesus, thank God for doing this most amazing. It took so much power to raise you from being dead to being alive. Thank Jesus for this amazing power and this amazing love and this amazing grace. Because now you are God's workmanship and he's got plans for each one of you to do. I wonder what those plans are for the coming week. Let's pray together now. First of all, we're going to say a prayer which anyone can pray if they'd like to start to follow Jesus for the very first time. Maybe for some of the children or even some of the adults. We know that we need to ask Jesus to do this rescue in us. So we're going to say A, B, C. We're going to admit that we've lived in God's world in our transgressions and our sins. We're going to say sorry for the things we've done wrong. B, we're going to put our trust, we're going to believe that Jesus died for us when he died on the cross to rescue us. And C, we're going to come to Jesus and ask him to forgive us. So anyone who'd like to pray a prayer to follow Jesus for the very first time, you can pray this prayer with me and say amen at the end. Dear Lord Jesus, we learn from the Bible that you really are the King. And we want to admit that we haven't lived for you as we should. We've lived in your world, living for ourselves, for the world, the flesh, and the devil. Sorry for the ways in which we have been so selfish. B, Jesus, we believe that you are the King and that you died on the cross and rose to new life to give us new life with you. And see, we want to come to you now. Please forgive us and help us for the first time to follow you. We need your help and we pray that you would look after us and give us new life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now a prayer for those of us who are following Jesus, that we might live out being his workmanship. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we are dearly loved children. We've been loved by you, and you've done an amazing miracle in our lives. You've taken us from darkness and death to light and life. We thank you that this is all by your grace, that this was absolutely your work and nothing to do with what we've done except for the gift of grace that you have given us. We pray, Lord, that seeing how loved we are and how powerfully you have worked in our lives, you'd help us to live out our lives as your masterpieces. We pray that even in this coming week, you would help us to follow you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.